Lecture topic, fear of acceptance.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. One incident of a very great alim and scholar of the past. And the purpose of discussing this is just to reflect upon our own situation and what is the condition of our hearts, especially when, with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, if we have been enabled to do some good, then what is the condition of our heart thereafter? So, often this is the case with ourselves, that if we have done even the basics, and then especially if little bit more than the basics, then we are generally very, very sort of fearless, and we regard it as something certain, that I am accomplished, I am done, I have nothing to worry about, I am completely free from any issues now. Whereas this was not the way that the pious predecessors, how they thought, what was in their hearts. There was a very great alim that passed, Allama Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah. It is mentioned about him that about 20,000 people accepted Islam at his hands. 20,000 people. And about more than 100,000 people made Tawbah on his hands. So people, Muslims who had drifted, who had gone off the track in some way or the other, were far away from Deen, or negligent in some aspects of Deen. But after, mashallah, being inspired by his nasihat, his talks, his efforts, so they made Tawbah at his hands. More than 100,000. More than 20,000 accepted Islam. And it is mentioned about him that there are many of books of his which are quite well known. Many are not probably available. Probably were never even printed. But he wrote over 2,000 kitabs. 2,000 kitabs to read. 2,000 kitabs is quite a task if somebody manages to do it. To write 2,000 kitabs, this is a karamat of a very high level. Allah Ta'ala grants a special help and tawfiq. Some of his kitabs, Talbis Iblis and various other kitabs of his, are quite well known and available. Many probably never were printed. Now this kind of personality, what can be said about him? But what was the condition of his heart? So it is mentioned about him that he would say to his students, his associates from time to time, he would say to them that, look, when you are in Jannat, must look for me also, please. And if you don't find me there, then please plead on my behalf that, Ya Allah, this servant of yours used to remind us sometimes. He used to remind us about Deen, remind us about you. So in other words, intercede on my behalf that I did remind you, whatever the condition was, but I did remind you. So on that basis now, intercede on my behalf that I am also brought into Jannat then. Subhanallah, this is really an ajeeb. This is what is a reflection of what was the condition of the Sahaba-e-Kiram. That this is the legacy that they left behind. And these are the things that such people took on fully. It is mentioned about the Sahaba-e-Kiram in the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala describes them that يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِيلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the pious servants, and this is referring to the Sahaba. That they do good, they give their wealth in the path of Allah Ta'ala, they do other righteous actions, but their hearts are trembling. That we are going to have to still return to Allah on the day of Qiyamah. And on that day, what will be the outcome, we have no idea. And therefore we are afraid of what may become the situation. Allah forbid that we are rejected or amal are rejected because of the intention being deficient or off the track. There was some riya that came in or whatever other issues that can destroy a person's amal. That was the fear, that was the thing that was now causing them this concern. So the Sahaba Ikram, this was their condition. They never ever thought themselves as, now we done, we accomplished, we got nothing to ever worry about. They still worried. And we do a fraction of a fraction and we feel we done, we feel we accomplished, we got nothing to worry about. But this is where the big problem comes. That because of that complacency, because of becoming content with whatever little did happen with the fazal of Allah Ta'ala, then the slide starts, the decline comes in. And instead of moving forward, we start moving backwards, Allah forbid, then at a rapid pace. So we need to all the time be concerned. And after any good deed, to also beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness for the shortcomings in it, and to beg His acceptance. That if it doesn't gain acceptance in the court of Allah Ta'ala, then it's of no benefit. Then Allah forbid, if it doesn't gain acceptance, it can even become a big problem for us. Like the Hadith Sharif, which speaks about the three people who will be called up first on the day of Qiyamah, the wealthy person who spent his wealth in the path of Allah Ta'ala, the shaheed, the one who gave his life for the deen of Allah Ta'ala, and the alim and learned person who taught much deen, etc. And each one will be asked, what did you do? And they will say, I did this, I did that for the deen. But the response will be that all this is a lie. You did it for name and fame. You did it for recognition. You did it to be praised in the dunya. So all this has happened already. You finish, get the praises. The name and fame came. So what are you asking for now? And then the very, very serious matter then, that the fire of Jahannam will be kindled with these people. So such great amal, but all totally destroyed because of the incorrect intention, because of the corruption that came in the intention. Now this is already such a big question about how pure are our intentions. There are some, mashallah, maybe some extent of good intentions, but how often those intentions get mixed up with some wrong thoughts, with some wrong intentions. A passing thought, just some waswasa, that will not make any difference. It will not harm a person anyway, because he ignored that, he didn't pay attention to it. But how often we get mixed up intentions. Some good intentions mixed up with some ulterior motive, mixed up with some other whatever things we want to try to fit into the whole equation. So that kind of amal, is it going to be accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala? That's a big question. So therefore, we need to be inspired by these people's khashiyat, their fear of Allah Ta'ala, the very, very great personality who revived the work of da'wat and tabligh, and through his sincerity, his efforts, Allah Ta'ala accepted this, and this then spread far and wide throughout the world, and hundreds of thousands, millions, mashallah, their lives were very positively affected, and they came onto deen. So now somebody who's, mashallah, done something of this level, but the incident about him is well known. He was on his, almost on his deathbed. He was very ill, it was the last illness perhaps. And Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan of his time, he had come to visit, but the doctors had already restricted visitors. So when somebody informed him that visitors are not being allowed, so he turned to leave. But somebody came and informed Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali that Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has come to visit you, but he has been told that visitors are not allowed, so he's leaving. So he sent the person, quickly, you bring him and come. So in any case, he was brought, after they met and inquired about whatever welfare and so on, then Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh is asking him, because he's the Grand Mufti of Pakistan. He was, at that time there was no Pakistan yet, but he was a very highly placed Mufti and scholar already. He was an Ustad in Darul Uloom Deoband. So he told him that, look, this work of Da'wat has spread far and wide. Different countries, people are now coming. I'm very concerned that this is istidraj, that this is some leeway and some rope from the side of Allah Ta'ala. Istidraj is that leeway and that free rein for a while that a person of who is not a pious person, a sinful person, is given. Now he's doing some things, outwardly it seems like everything is going very well for him, but that what seems to be going very well for him is no different to the rope that a person is given despite his being a criminal. Figuratively speaking, there's a rope given, he's allowed, they're tracking him down, say, let him carry on, let him get deeper into the matter. When he gets deeper, then we'll pounce on him. Now he's thinking he's top of the world, nobody is catching up with him. Meanwhile, he's getting deeper into the problem. So that's istidraj, that a sinful person is given some rope. He thinks everything is perfect for him. He gets deeper into his problems. Then when the things crash on him, now he's bewildered, now he's completely astounded, what happened? Now that is what Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh is referring to, that I'm afraid that this might be istidraj. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh consoled him. He told him definitely it's not istidraj. So he said, how can you be sure about it? What basis are you making this claim on and saying it with such certainty? So he replied that in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala speaks about istidraj in these words, sanastadrijuhum min haythu la ya'lamun. We'll give them this istidraj, this leeway, and they will lead to their destruction in such a way that they won't even realize it. So the fact that you are concerned about it means that this is not istidraj. If it was istidraj, then you would not have even bothered. This would not have even crossed your mind to be concerned that is this istidraj or not. So any case, after hearing this answer, he was now very much more sort of at ease. But now that's the lesson, that he didn't just get carried away, that now this thing, work has gone far and wide, and so many thousands of people are coming, and people are coming from different countries, so I don't have anything to fear about. This increased his fear. This made him even more concerned. Now that's the point of reflection. Do we become more concerned or less concerned? We feel now heedless, I got nothing to worry about, I got nothing to bother, I'm up and about, or do we feel more concerned? The person who feels more concerned, or that concern is now there and is growing also a little bit at a time, whatever, but is there, he hasn't decreased that concern, inshallah this is a sign that things are going in the right direction. This is a sign, inshallah, that there is acceptance. But if that concern is dying off, it's a very, very worrying factor, it's an alarm bell, something to become very concerned about. We need to check our hearts, we need to keep reflecting, keep searching, soul searching, where are we, which direction are we taking? Are we concerned about improvement, or are we very relaxed and complacent? I'm done. I perform my salah, I make tilawat also, I am doing this, I'm doing that, whatever other good deeds, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala increase it. But does that mean that now we're done, we got nothing to worry about? Allah Ta'ala save us, that's not the way to go about things. In the Hadith Sharif it comes that sometimes a person, there's only one zira, one hand span between him and Jannat, meaning he's almost there, but then suddenly he trips because of some, whatever the matters are, and gets thrown into Jahannam. Meaning death came then in a situation that the person lost his iman or fell into some major problems, and instead of Jannat, the person finished off in Jahannam. But now this one zira was left. So how come this last minute in time there was this trip up? Sometimes this happens because some aspect of deen was sort of taken for granted. If I am not really fulfilling this, I'm doing everything else. So this one, two things now, it doesn't matter. The one is to be very worried about it. I'm not doing this, it's wrong. What I'm shirking in this matter, it's wrong. Or I'm doing this particular action which is in itself wrong. So then, I need to change this. My weakness that I'm not yet sorting it out, but what I'm doing is wrong. And the person is finding this remorse in the heart, this regret, making istighfar, begging Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and then trying to make some headway. That's a different situation. But some things are just parked off on the side. Now, I'm doing all this, so now this one thing now, I can't really adopt this full parda from my cousins now, or brother-in-law, or something of this nature. So, now, life will carry on. I'm doing all the other things. So, this is the way things carry on. Allah forbid that this becomes an obstruction at the time of maut. Because a command of deen was now put on the side without much concern that, well, this is a secondary thing now, na'uzubillah. Or if it's not regarded as a secondary thing, but it doesn't matter if I don't really do this much, because I'm doing everything else, I'm doing so many other things, or one thing only. So in other words, we're not feeling the remorse about it. We're not feeling that deep regret. We're not feeling that I need to change it. We're not feeling that this cannot continue in the way it is. Therefore, I must at least make sincere tawbah, make istighfar, beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and make dua, ask Allah Ta'ala for tawfiq, that, Ya Allah, this is my weakness, I'm not yet sorting this out. People have ajeeb ajeeb things, somebody has a problem with how they speak, for example, some vulgarity comes. See, well, it just slips out. So one is it's so-called slipped out, but then what happened? So we just took it for granted, well, it slipped out. So it slipped out, so then I'm excused. That's not excusable, that be excused on the day of Qiyamah. Now one is it slipped out, that's wrong. But then somebody who it slipped out, or there's a habit now and it's slipping out, but now they came to their senses, that this is wrong. This is a serious problem. So they're feeling that remorse and regret, making dua, begging Allah's forgiveness, begging Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq. Ya Allah, I need to correct this in my life, I need to get past it. Ya Allah, you help me. Ya Allah, you grant me the tawfiq. You protect my tongue from uttering any such things. So now that is a concerned person. That person is truly asking, begging, acknowledging the weakness and the wrong. Inshallah, there's great hope the tawfiq will come and that wrong will get corrected. There's great hope that there'll be progress. So that's one way in which this is managed and handled. And another person, well, it slipped out now, it slips out. I don't mean it. So therefore, if I don't mean it, you shouldn't get offended also. Does anybody ever think in that way? That, well, this person didn't mean it, so I shouldn't get offended. No matter what the person said, they finished, spell it out that they don't mean it. So I mustn't get offended. People don't take that. They don't buy that. That if you didn't mean it, then I mustn't get offended. They still get very offended. And they retaliate. They take revenge. They say things in return, whatever might be. So the point is that we don't take these things lightly. Somebody tells us, no, it just was a mistake, or I didn't mean it. We don't take that lightly. So likewise, no command of Allah Ta'ala must be taken lightly. That I'm doing everything else, so this one thing now doesn't matter. No, everything matters. And especially when something is being treated as light, it's a command of deen, and treated lightly, that if this doesn't really happen, so nothing to make it a big issue about, that is a very dangerous approach. That is an extremely dangerous approach. Unfortunately, sometimes that is what catches up at the time of maut. And that becomes a big barrier. So the lesson in all this is, we cannot ever become complacent or feel that we are done, we are accomplished, we got nothing to worry about, we can take things easy, relax, life will carry on. No, we can't carry on in that manner. We need to change that approach. We need to turn to Allah Ta'ala. beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, beg Allah Ta'ala's help, and in this way, inshallah, we'll see the great benefit that will come to us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala fill our hearts also with khashiyat. Allah Ta'ala fill our hearts with taqwa. And Allah Ta'ala save us and protect us. Till the last breath, Allah Ta'ala keep us in His hifazat and take us on perfect iman and raise us on the day of Qiyamah with perfect iman as well. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهدي وأصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.